Welcome again to the Atlanta Startup Podcast. I am Waima BK, the Managing Director of Startup Runway, and which is the leading platform linking underrepresented founders to capital and investors. I'm really excited for this episode. We have Joe Hamilton, the founder of 4Second Football. And what's particularly exciting about 4Second Football is that they are a winner from the most recent Startup Runway Pitch Showcase, the 24th edition. They were the audience favorite. And so, Joe, I'm so thankful for you joining today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited and love to connect more and talk about, you know, what we got going on in 4Second Football.
That's it. So let's jump right in. How about you do exactly that? Tell the audience a bit about 4Second Football, and in particular, what really drives the value for this product and this service you've built.
Yeah, absolutely. So 4Second Football, I like to call it, is the world's smartest football. It's the first football that can track data that is directly beneficial for quarterbacks and translates to better performance. We took some research that is heavily studied in the game of football, you know, data such as touchdown to interception, sacks, QB hurries, things like that. And we were able to find a connection between how long quarterbacks hold the ball and those data points. And when they hold it too long, they're, you know, typically worse performers. I actually came up with the idea one day when I was watching some guys play 7-on-7. And being that I play football, I grew up knowing quarterbacks are typically told you got 4 seconds to get rid of the ball. A lot of times back in the day, we used to count 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. And so as I'm watching these guys play, they start arguing over how slow the count was, right? And that was when the light bulb popped into my head, like, hey, why hasn't there been a ball that's been automated to count for you? Because you have discrepancies such as a slow count or a fast count when you leave it up to, you know, humans to count. You know, you can get human error. So that was when I started doing some brainstorming and thought about, you know, is there a way that I can create a ball that will count for you? All right, we've automated everything else. Why hasn't this been automated? And so that was when we came up with the vision for 4Second Football, because like I say, quarterbacks only get 4 seconds, and the data shows that when they get the ball out of their hand in under 2.5 seconds versus over, they're much better performers. And so now you can track that data with our football.
I love that. I'm not going to sit here and say that I am a football buff and I know all the stats, but I do have the awareness of how much analytics goes into the game of football all the way out to professional. So I absolutely see where 4Second Football can fit in. And so I'm curious, even as a layman, someone not in it, I get it. How are folks that you have shared this product with? How do they, who have you shared it with? How are they receiving it? Have you gotten any good, really good feedback you'd like to share with us about the product?
Yeah, absolutely. And for one, I do want to say, you know, my goal is always to be able to make it relate to even the layman, right? The person that's not a big football fan, I have to be able to connect it and say, well, if you watch a football game, if you've ever said, why is he holding on to the ball so long? Right. That's where our football comes into play, right? It can train the mindset of the quarterback to get rid of the ball quicker with the audio and visual feedback that it gives. But to answer your other question, you know, we've partnered with two high schools, one school down in Columbus, Georgia, and then a school here in Atlanta, Georgia. And then I also have a family, a quarterback who is using our product from a home perspective as well. One of the things that we have, we use as an upsell with our football is this QB catching net. And with the QB catching net, the benefit to that using it at home is like in basketball players are told you should get up 200 jump shots a day, right, to work on your muscle memory. And in baseball, you know, pitchers have to throw so many pitches per day, and you need a catching net so that you don't always have to have a teammate. But quarterbacks, you know, they have this net as well, but you're just making throws. You're not tracking the data. So that's when we decided to upsell our product with this net. So now a quarterback can go through many drills, go through plays in their backyard with our ball. And now they have to try to throw it in the holes in the net. That's how they can work on their precision passing while still making sure they're building the mental clock in their head to get it out in 3 seconds. The feedback, though, to answer that question is the player that uses it at home says it's building his confidence because now he gets to train and track his data so he can say, oh, I was 30% complete today. I was 40% complete on this day. And they can literally see their completion percentage going up. And if their completion percentage is kind of low, then it lets them know, well, maybe I should come in a little bit closer to the net. Maybe I shouldn't stand so far away because that's a harder throw. So now they're literally becoming smarter players, making easier throws until they develop to be able to make the more difficult throws. So it's really a mental and psychological tool that gives you transparency in real time as to how you're performing. The coaches have literally told us like, yeah, we can see our players are thinking more in real time because if your quarterback's underperforming at practice, then, you know, you play in the game how you practice during the week. And so because we can track the data in real time, and then give you the data in real time. Like there's no wait. We give the averages immediately. A coach can see how you're performing in practice, not after practice. So now he can tell you like, hey man, you need to step it up. Like here's how you're performing at practice. Well, now the player focuses more. Like they literally lock in and now they're trying to get their stats up. So they begin to focus more. And so the benefit and the feedback has been really, really positively received. And the one thing I want to add is one of our coaches told us the one thing that'll set apart a training tool from other training tools, because they get sold all the time, is when a tool can be used in many different ways. So we actually found a way that our football that comes with a timer can be used for offensive and defensive linemen, because when you think about it, quarterbacks have to get the ball out in 4 seconds because the defensive linemen are trying to tackle them in 4 seconds. So now we can time how fast the defense is getting to the quarterback. They make up drills to time, hey, you're getting there too slow, right? We actually need you to get to the quarterback in 3 seconds. 4 seconds may be too long to some coaches. So we've made it a ball that can be implemented in many drills for many positions. And that's the thing that I love about it the most. That's the feedback that we've gotten that I love about it the most.
I love that. It's if you're not paying enough attention to how you're describing the value of this ball, you might think it's just a ball that's smart, but essentially it's a tool to improve player football IQ, if you will. Because you have that immediate feedback, you have like time, first it's accurate, then it's in a place and in a structure that's immediate. So you can give that immediate feedback and then be able to build that IQ in place versus if you have that a huge lack where you have to look at play video, if you will, or tape. You can't, it's harder to instill that the feedback that builds the IQ. Is that a good way to describe it?
No, that is perfect. Matter of fact, you actually reminded me one of the reviews I got from one of our quarterbacks. We were doing a session and he said to me, every throw matters now because I know you're tracking my data on the app. Where, you know, sometimes at practice, we lounge around, we're lazy, we just throw a pass. And you know, if it's complete or incomplete, we don't care. We know we have another play. But now you can make every throw matter, because our football tracks that data and we're going to show you later, right? Like, hey, we're watching you. So that's kind of like the real value proposition, right? Like we're making your performance every day visible, and then like compound interest. If you use it daily, you're going to get miles better than the competition over time.
That's really good. That's really good. I'm actually going to shift a little bit to get a sense better of your experience in the pitch at the pitch day at Startup Runway. Like, how was that? And then also a bit about how did you prepare for the pitch in a way that you were successful? You were able to walk away with some money.
Oh, that's a good question. So my experience, to answer the first part, was it was a great experience. I've done a couple pitches, but I haven't ever had the mentors, you know, the mentor hour and advisor hour before the pitch was really cool. Not only from a perspective of being able to get advice and bounce ideas off of them, but also just in networking. They gave some, not only some gems, but they were able to say, hey, I might know somebody who might can use it over here. Or when you get to this stage, you know, reach out and email me. So the networking piece there was pretty cool. The part where the VCs were giving us, allowed us to ask any questions and they were giving the answers. They kind of confirmed some things that, you know I was personally thinking. Like the most important question being like, you know, what do you consider traction? You know, that's in the startup world. I know a few other startups that are kind of in the same position I'm in. We're all like trying to, you know, get some investment, but traction is the biggest thing. And what's considered traction, right? To an investor versus what we consider traction. So They kind of confirmed what I was thinking anyway. That was super valuable. And then as far as the pitch, you know, a very kind of intimate room, very nice lighting. So it was an amazing experience. It was very cool.
Glad to hear. No, continue.
I was going to say, I was trying to remember the order of your questions. I think the other part of your question was like, how did I prepare? Right. Mm-hmm. And the way that I prepared, in all honesty, is the same way. So I was in a pitch event in November. You know, we were able to come away with some prize money there. Very, you know, very fortunate. And, you know, I kind of prepared the same way I did for that one. I like to do mock pitches. Like I try to create the pressure of being on stage and having eyes on me. So what I like to do is, you know, I get out a camera. I'll put some lights on me in my living room and I'll just record myself and really try to see what I'm going to look like on stage. You know, beforehand, you know, make it very transparent. And then the things that I don't like, then I fix it. I have to go over the pitch about 100 times because I was over time at home. And I think I was running out of a little bit of time at the tail end there live. But, you know, just running over it a bunch of times. But when you know the data, you know, that's the biggest thing is like knowing your stuff. When you know your stuff, even if you freeze up, you'll always be able to just revert back to the things that you know, because it's just in your head. So that was how I prepared.
That is an awesome approach. That idea of setting up an environment in your practice space that mimics the real thing. I mean, given what you're building, 4 Second Football, that idea of, you know, you want to be able to practice the way that you're going to play. And so I think that is a great piece to hear from you. And for any listeners who might be looking for some tips and tricks on how to be successful in the pitch environment as a startup founder, that's a gem right there. So I would love to hear what's next for 4 Second Football, what you guys have planned, what do you have planned, what you're looking forward to, or some of any boulders or challenges you're trying to lift? What's the next lift for the next few weeks and months for 4 Second Football?
Yeah, absolutely. So the plan right now is world domination.
I love it.
But, you know, I understand that we have to do it one step at a time and there's a process. So, you know, in the sense of building blocks, the very next step is, you know, I have some inventory that I should have coming in my first order. It won't be a large inventory order. So as soon as I get those, I already have coaches who are super intrigued in this concept. They've seen some video online. I have some demos lined up that I'll be doing because spring, like hike for high schools, spring training, as today is April the 4th. A lot of the high schools are doing spring training the last week of April into the early weeks of May. So I already have about 3 schools who will be using it full fledged in their spring training so that they can get real hands on. And then I'm lining up other demos to go out to try to sell them the early product as well. The biggest challenge right now is not getting teams interested, right? It's more so just kind of like scaling, because you need money to scale. And when I say scale, right now I'm at a position where I'm honestly just getting off the ground. But right now, like literally, we're doing it right now. The event that we want in November, we want $15,000. We put all of that into inventory. That's what funded the inventory we have coming in the next 2 weeks, right? Because it's hardware, so it takes about 10 to 12 weeks to manufacture. And then the money that we just won from Startup Runway, we're going to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the revenue that we make from the units we have coming in and then put it with the 10,000 that we just got. So that way I can get a bigger run instead of, because with hardware, the smaller the amount of money that you could put in, your cost to manufacture it just goes up. So you don't get as far. So that's kind of like the biggest problem, right? You know, in a perfect world, I could, go with $50,000 and be able to scale and get way more units, get a few hundred, and then bring my cost of goods down. But until then, I have to just kind of do it. Like I say, I just build in blocks. So, the Startup Runway was perfect timing. It was big for us. And like I say, that's just the next step, getting out, doing the demos, getting the sales going. Cause I know once they try it, they're going to want it. Like I know for a fact, once a coach tries it, they're going to want to want it. They're going to want it. And then for the parents, that's just, online strategy, and my background is in digital marketing, so I know how to market online. So I'm very excited for our future.
It sounds like you have a lot going on in terms of picking this momentum from these wins and converting that into customers. And so that's the nature of what you're doing, starting a business. So you've been able to get a couple boosts. You got some eyes on what you're building. Folks see the value, and you're also putting the money where the mouth is. You're getting, you're building your inventory and building up the capacity to be able to communicate the value and then get customers. So I'm excited for 4 Second Field Football. I think I really wanted to get a sense of ultimately what brought you to this journey. You could be doing all kinds of different things. As like you said, you have your background in digital marketing, entrepreneurship, as you all probably already see, is a very hard space to be in. So what motivated you to start this journey, and what motivates you to continue it despite whatever challenges?
Oh man, that's kind of like a back in my life kind of question. Like, what happened that made you want to go down the road that many people, kind of fail at, right? Unfortunately. And trust me, I've looked at all the research, and I had to come to a realization a long time ago, like the odds are stacked against me. So only do this if you really feel confident that you can do it. But what kind of pushed me into entrepreneurship was, in all honesty, I just always wanted to be the type of boss that I felt like I never had. Earlier on in my like working career, I kind of had some employers who, I just didn't think they treated everybody fair or treated everybody the same. From work-life balance to just how you treat your employees, how you pay your employees. And I just wanted to be able to create something that, if I could create a company and give jobs and, help boost the economy, boost our local economy, I just wanted to definitely be that type of employer that a person would be happy to work for, unless they wanted to start their own thing, right? But, I wanted to be the type of employer like they feel comfortable coming to, they feel comfortable speaking with, the employer doesn't make them feel bad when they come to work, and really want to train and develop them to be much better, to go on to do better things. So that was kind of what got me started on the journey. Sometimes it's even out of fear. We're always kind of taught you need to have multiple streams of income. So things just kind of came together. You struggle a little bit and, you fight. that's just kind of what happened. You know, there was a point in my life where I was just struggling with some things and I was like, I need more money. It was that simple, right? I was like, I need more money. And I was like, let me come up with a $1 million idea. So that was when I just started thinking. But the one true piece of transparency with me is some inventions come from, you know, like a mistake, right? And my very first, I would consider myself to be a serial entrepreneur. And my very first invention before this one is called Bacchus. And so Bacchus basically in short is a wearable alcohol monitor, and it can alert someone, you know, of their alcohol BAC rate or level in real time. So that way they don't have to rely on, you know, a breathalyzer when it's too late. And so that invention just came from like seeing people who were getting in trouble, like they were making bad decisions. And that was when I thought, like, how can people know ahead of time that they've reached their limit? It was that simple, right? I think they say, you know, problems are like the mother of all invention or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think Mark Cuban mm-hmm. has said before. And I'm paraphrasing. So, you know, that was how I came up with my first concept. And then the football was kind of the same way. I saw some guys arguing, they were getting real rowdy. And then I was like, you know, why hasn't that been created? So that was how my concepts came to fruition. But I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, just kind of from struggle and, you know, wanting to treat people how I didn't think I was treated.
There are so many gems in all you just said. That idea that, you know, one, not to throw another pun in there, but entrepreneurship is a team sport, and that you wanted to be that employer that recognizes that you were building something that had its value, and you do it with people and treating people in a way that they all feel like they can be a part of that without sacrificing health or well-being or sense of ownership and being valued within the organization. So one, I love that inspiration. Also like that you were willing to share that part of your journey has been failure, or a lot of folks like to say, and I embrace that it's not a failure, it's an opportunity to learn. And you took that learning to this next venture that we're all knocking on wood that it's going to be that $1 million idea. And you already start showing some traction in that direction. So I really appreciate you being transparent and sharing that piece. And so we're almost at time. I want to give you a chance to, one, share any last thoughts, and then how our listeners can find you.
My last thought would just kind of be, you know, if you're an entrepreneur watching this, you know, the biggest thing I would just say is, you know, as long as you got faith that you can do it, just take the leap of faith. But make sure you do your research, like really, really research your market. Look at your competitors, how you're different. Do as much research as you can before you spend a dollar, because you will waste money. You will lose money, and money is super valuable if you don't have a lot of it. Collaboration and teamwork can take you a lot farther than doing it alone, but I understand how hard it is, because right now I have a team. Let me not say that I have a team, but it costs you, you know, the earlier you can get your team, it may not be as difficult as it's mm-hmm. been for me. Yeah, I ended up getting mm-hmm. a team late. So mm-hmm. get a team early. And I don't know. I can't think of anything deep right now, but
those are great answers, and there is depth there. You know, don't go alone. Teamwork, have faith, but do your due diligence and do your work. I appreciate that. That is very valuable. And the last piece, how can folks find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all social media channels at 4 Second Football, our website 4secondfootball.com, and you can email me at info@4secondfootball. And we would love to connect.
Awesome, awesome. So that's it for this episode of the Atlanta Startup Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for being a part of the community of courage by listening to the visionary founders and investors on the Atlanta Startup Podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss a single episode of the over 200 investors and founders sharing their insider tips and secrets to growth. Our regular listeners tell us we're the briefing room for the innovation economy in the fastest growing region of the country, the South, and when you subscribe, you become part of the inside circle. The Atlanta Startup Podcast is proudly hosted by Valor VC. Valor is a venture capital firm that leads seed rounds in AI and B2B SaaS startups. If you like the podcast, check out more of Valor's programs for courageous founders and investors, like Startup Runway. Over $100 million in early-stage venture capital is catalyzed through Startup Runway's grant-making program for pre-seed startups. Go to startuprunway.org to learn more and apply directly for non-dilutive capital. Valor celebrates VC Day, the largest early-stage private capital conference in the region, at the end of the year. Top founders, leading VCs, endowments, and family offices attend. Learn more at vc.day. At Valor, courage is the currency of innovation and the heartbeat of our culture. Thanks for listening and join us again next week.